This morning I want to give you a little more background about Ezra and kind of put things into perspective. The Babylonian Empire only lasted about 100 years. 626 down to 539 B.C. And it's the Babylonians that Isaiah wrote so much about, and we'll talk about that in a minute. The Persian Empire then began about 539 and lasted about 200 years to 333 B.C. And then the Persian Empire was conquered by none other than Alexander the Great. And the Greeks took over. We're dealing with Cyrus, who was the first Persian ruler. And they conquered the Babylonians in 539. And in 533, he issued the edict that the Jews could go home. The Babylonians and the Persians dealt with things very differently. The Babylonians believed that when they conquered a people, they should literally make them Babylonians. And that's what they tried to do to the exiles for their time in Babylonia. And they changed their culture, they changed their language, they changed the food they ate. They tried to get them to worship the Babylonian gods, and that's what we see in the book of Daniel. And Daniel and his friends resisting that. The Persians did not go about things that way. The Persians believed that the best way to handle this was to let the people live their lives in their own ways, but Persia would be the overarching authority. And so, that's why Cyrus let them go home. But even home, they were still under Persian rule. Now, as you look at all this, you may say, well, that's just the way the Babylonians and the Persians did it. But there's bigger things going on. And your lesson brought them up. One of the most remarkable things about Holy Scripture is the reference to Cyrus in Isaiah. Remarkable. Isaiah wrote in about 750 B.C. That's approximately 200 years before Cyrus was born. There are other times in Scripture where the scriptural writers will prophesy a figure, a person, but never do they call him by his first name. This is truly a sign of divine inspiration, that it is God that moved Isaiah to write this. And a real stamp of what we teach, stamp of approval on what we teach about the scriptures, that they're not man-made. They are divinely inspired. This is not man's word, this is God's word. And this is one of the true marks that that's what's going on. All right, they were in captivity about 70 years, but if you do the math, you may not get the right answer. The edict was given in 533 that they could go home. And most people then say, well, Jerusalem was destroyed in 587, therefore that's only about 50 years. Except the first exile of the Babylonians carrying off the people of Judah was in 606 B.C. Long before Jerusalem was destroyed, they were already carrying the people off. And that's where you get the 70 years. Now, one other interesting thing was brought up in Leaders by Diane is Shashbazzar, the same person as Zerubbabel. It's a mess. There are two very specific scholarly opinions. One is that Shashbazzar was a different person than Zerubbabel, and he died shortly after they came back to Jerusalem and Zerubbabel took over. The other view is that Shashbazzar is the Babylonian name for Zerubbabel, and they are the same person. I found both. Take the one you want. Because there is no firm evidence to say either one. And the scriptures don't make it clear. I looked up all the passages that deal with this, and the scriptures don't say. So it's a very open question as to if they're the same or different people. All right, questions? Yes.
One of the questions pointed to the two Isaiah passages, that was question number five, in regard to Cyrus. Isaiah 44, call him my shepherd. Some of the versions said my servant. But then Isaiah 45 used the word anointed.
Yep.
And usually that word has been reserved for God's people. We don't have evidence that he was a believer, do we?
No, we do not. But what God is saying is, he's the one I've anointed to let you go. He's going to be my servant. Okay? He's going to think he's serving his own ends. But he is going to be my servant. And I'm going to raise him up. So it is God saying that in spite of what worldly wisdom may say, I am behind this. Yeah, he's my servant. Others? Yeah, it wasn't very difficult. But
what happened to the Ark of the
Covenant? Well, that's a good question. I think the best theory is Raiders of the Lost Ark. That's the best I've seen. We know that Shishak, just like the movie said, Shishak carried off the articles of the temple. And probably the ark. But it has never been found. So it might be buried in the Well of Souls somewhere in Egypt. But it's not in a U.S. government warehouse. Yes. That was before. That was before. Jerusalem was destroyed in 587. You're testing my old mind. To my recollection, it was carried off in the 600s. 609. I think when Necho killed Josiah, carried off the ark. It doesn't say they carried off the ark, it said they carried off the holy things. And there's no reference to the ark after that. Okay? So, and you know, you don't need the ark. The ark represented the presence of God. The presence of God is Jesus Christ. And now he's come in the flesh. So we don't need a gold box anymore. They thought they did. Yeah.
Yeah, I found it interesting that Daniel, there's no evidence that he ever returned to Jerusalem. In Daniel chapter 6, we have Darius, around 520s, promoting him, and he apparently remained as a high official in the Babylonian hierarchy.
Yeah, you got to remember that they were in Babylon 70 years. The life cycle of a human being in that age was about 45 years. By this time, that's almost two generations. There were children born and died in Babylon. And there were many of the Jewish exiles that did not come home. Now, whether they continue to worship in Babylon, we don't know. But interesting note, Babylon is where the term synagogue began. Because when they didn't have the temple, they still had to have a place where they could read the scriptures. And so they began to call these small group meetings synagogues. And then that was exported back to Jerusalem and Judah, even to Jesus' day. There was the temple, but then they would gather to hear the word of God read in the synagogues. But sacrifices were only made at Jerusalem. All right, anything else? Yes.
We had one question, Luther. Was there anybody still in Jerusalem when they went back?
Yeah, there would have been some people still there. They left some people there. But it wasn't, most of them were carried out. The people that were there left were very common poor people. But there were a few left. All right. We'll continue next week. Any announcements? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.